broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
He's told me on several instances where he has actually, you know, been reading the memos, studying the issue.
Our new missile defense architecture in Europe will provide stronger, smarter.
Unfortunately, this was done in the spur of the moment, and nobody had the opportunity.
I think it is the atmosphere, the language that's being...
Good night and good luck.
He's a jackass.
And a world-famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, where truth is our bitch. The only news, talk, and entertainment show in the whole world that knows what it's talking about. So we've covered healthcare to the point where I'm about ready to vomit. And either people understand it or they don't. But I'm going to tell you, this is my opinion. This is just my opinion. And then I don't want to spend this whole segment talking about it. My opinion is this. You don't have to like the healthcare plan or the public option. You don't have to like any of it. But you better have a reason why you don't like it beyond it insures illegals, because that ain't in the plan. You don't have to like the health care plan or the public option, because that is your prerogative. But you better not be telling me that it's a government takeover of the industry. You better back that up. Otherwise, you're full of crap. You don't have to support the public health option or Obama's health care plan. That is your prerogative. You can vote that way, but don't look at me with a straight face and tell me that it's going to run the health insurance industry out of business when some of the most prominent private insurers in the country are in favor of this revamping of, or this institutionalizing of, public health service. You don't have to like the public option or the Obama health plan if you don't want to. That's your right. But don't stand there with a straight face and tell me that the government can't run anything like a program that serves people or sets goals or tries to achieve a certain level of service or accomplishment or science or anything else, when I know full well, because I'm not brain dead like maybe some of the people that criticize these things. I've been around and I've heard and I've seen and I know history that the government has affected a great many things. The government. And I'm not going to go through the, you know, it's almost irritating to have to remind people that we went to the moon on a government-based program. We won a war utilizing the government as the leader, as the administrator of the entire operation. We've had public and private universities in this country, as the president pointed out the other night, for years and years and years. Public universities such as the University of California system. Let's just take a look at the University of California system. And I mentioned the other night the University of California, Berkeley. I'd put that up against any school in the country as a institute of higher learning that turns out some of the great mathematical, scientific minds in the country as graduates and as postgraduate students, as doctorate students. So, and other public universities that we all are very, very familiar with, that many of us have our degrees from. So don't start talking to me about how the government can't do anything. All right? In other words, I haven't heard one argument opposed to this plan. Now, if we don't want it, we don't have to have it, and we can vote against it, and that's fine, because Americans do that. We vote based on superstition a lot. For instance, the equivalent of the Tea Party Express on the left used to be something called the anti-gun lobby, people that didn't like guns. That's the exact equivalent of what we have today with the Tea Party Express. Same understanding of the issue, which is basically no understanding at all. See? Well, it's superstition. It's based on fear and superstition. There's no knowledge of this plan. There's no understanding of this. It's rhetoric. It's witch doctor posters. It's three-cornered hats. And that's fine. If we are going to make the conscious decision not to do something about this problem that, you know, costs us so much money, we can do that. That's entirely within our province. Go ahead. Do it. I don't, you know, I'll be dead, man, in another 20, 30 years. I could give a sweet crap. And maybe that's the problem, because we've got a whole generation of baby boomers one of the most selfish generations in the history of the world, one of the most, in my opinion, destructive generations in the history of the world when it came to raising children, just basically doing, you know, the basics as human beings. This is a generation that I don't think will be missed. And one of the problems with this generation, it's getting older. And you know what old people do. They only think about themselves for the most part. You take a look at school bonds, for instance, or trying to build any kind of a school. Who are the people that vote against, you know, raising taxes for schools? It's generally the elderly. They don't have any more kids. They don't have any grandkids. They don't give a crap. So why would they give a damn about the next 100 years of this country's history and ensuring that we've got some, you know, we've got some cash laying around to get some problems solved and we're not sinking it all into going to see the doctor? Why would they care? Take a look at these tax protesters. Every time I look at one of those protests, it's all a bunch of fat old men and a bunch of screwed up kissers on a bunch of old ladies. And they're standing around yakking about Obama. I mean, I could be at any backyard barbecue in America and see the same damn thing. A bunch of old people yakking about Obama. You try to figure out what it is they're talking about. Brother, good luck. So it's fine. But the arguments have been laid out on the table. Now they're going to take their tax express and go all around the country, and they're going to get everybody amped up with the same bullcrap words like socialism, communism. You see the signs. Whether or not that's representative, I don't know. The tax express guy says, oh, it's not. But, you know, you're going to get all kinds of people. He didn't even decry it. He didn't put down the witch doctor poster. He said, well, you're going to get all kinds of people. That's the level of the brain that's at work there. In other words, some guy that believes that Obama is... he might as well be squatting in the bush throwing bones because he's a witch doctor. He understands that that might be racist imagery, but hey, what the hell? You're going to get all kinds. That's the extreme end of things. Why don't you take a look? What is the story with you, man? I mean, do you want a message to get out there or don't you? What is your message? What are you trying to say? Let me explain something. I never thought it was possible, but history is repeating itself not 50 years later. It's repeating itself 8-9 years later. It's a very easy thing to say, you know, we didn't have to have the Patriot Act. We didn't have to go and attack Iraq or Afghanistan. We didn't have to do a lot of this stuff. George Bush didn't keep us safe. We were more at risk. That's real easy to say, isn't it, when you're sitting on your fat, dead ass having done nothing to contribute to the protection of this country other than to sit on your fat ass and criticize a man who saw something he needed to do and he got it done and say, he didn't keep us safer, and here's what I would have done, 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 right? Now, the exact same thing is happening today with the economy. Precisely the same thing. We were faced with an unprecedented situation. We had the potential of banks collapsing worldwide. This wasn't the opinion of Keith Olbermann. This wasn't the opinion of Michael Moore. It wasn't the opinion of John Boehner. This was the opinion of economists, bankers, people that knew a little bit about money. And so we took steps. And guess what? I mentioned Susie Orman because she's very popular. You know, she's an economist, and she was one of those panicked, hysterical jackasses that was talking about a depression that would last for 5, 6, 7 years and the soup lines and the this and the that. Things are not good. I understand we've got high unemployment, and I also understand that we still have a long way to go before we get the private sector back up and running again where it's employing people. But this ain't no depression. And from where I stand, along with everybody else, I'm hearing the same bullcrap that I heard in 03 and 04 and 05 about how Bush didn't keep us. It's real easy to take a look and say, Obama didn't do any of this stuff. Well, the stimulus didn't do any of this stuff. Well, if he would have just let all those banks collapse. Some people are so disingenuous and so gutless that they are willing to say that the fight in Afghanistan isn't worth it. Because when they say that, that means they're consistent with their beliefs that America should never have punched back after being hit as hard as it was in 01. And some people are so gutless that they're willing to say the following. Let the banks collapse and let all of those companies collapse because that would make everything consistent with their own personal philosophy, and it's easy to do because that's not what we're going to let happen. We're not going to allow that to happen. If we actually allowed that to happen, if we actually told GM and Chrysler and all the banks, we said, all you guys take it and shove it up your ass. We're not giving you a nickel. And we watched as bank after bank after bank went south because no money was changing hands, because nobody really knew the extent as to the extent in terms of real dollars that this toxic asset situation was creating. And banks globally began to weaken, and we didn't have any uniform system that was put into place last spring when the leaders of the various treasuries and the various banks from around the world met in London. And we allowed GM to go south and Chrysler, and all of those millions of men and women are out on the street. And the country is really distressed now with a even higher unemployment. And not only that, the cost of social service to support people that are out of jobs. And if you think it was just GM and Chrysler, when there's no banks lending money, when you allow banks to go under and there's no more lending and there's no more credit that is moving between banks, guess what? Companies aren't going to keep people on. And then I would have liked to have heard those people then say, now this is a good thing. Go ahead, say it with a straight face. This is fantastic. We let all the banks and GM, and everything's gone south, and GM has gone south. We'll sell off the company for parts. I don't know what we're going to put there. Maybe there's some guy that can come along and buy up the stuff and become an automobile manufacturer, or maybe what we should do, because this is exactly what those people are saying. They're saying America can't make cars. Let it collapse. We're going to have to figure out something else to do. Well, what do you mean? Well, that's what we do. When the bank is, you know, the company goes south, you let it collapse. And then what? Well, then there's no more auto industry in Detroit. Well, you sure that that's the answer? Well, sure that's the answer. Well, what are we going to make instead of that? Well, you know, there's a lot of good farmland in Michigan. Let's start farming. People don't recognize, they don't even understand what it is they're saying. They don't know the extent. The extent of the effects of something like that, what it does to a country. And you're basically also surrendering the automobile business to the Japanese. You're just saying, thank you very much. It's been a great run. You Japanese, you Germans, you guys know how to make cars. We don't. Where are you going to find the billionaire that's going to invest to start a whole new car company? What are you going to call it? What kind of car is it going to be? Where are the dealers? What do the dealers do when those companies go under? What do you do with all those cars? Give them away? Trash them? You're going to find a billionaire now that's going to come along and create a whole new American automobile industry when the Japanese own the globe, when the Europeans are already slipping their 2 cents worth in? America is going to start from scratch again and start an entirely new automobile industry. It doesn't happen like that. When you give up on the industry, you give up on it. You don't own it anymore, man. You've given it away to somebody else. Now you got to figure out something else to make. What do we make around here these days? Anybody got any ideas? TV shows? All the banks that go under. All right, so they're under. Nobody's lending any money. Whole bunch of businesses go south too, Jack, because no credit is moving. Nobody's going to give anybody any money. They don't know if they're going to see it again. And the country is in a state of distress that is profound. If you think things are bad now, my friend, you don't even know. You got no conception. And these guys that say, go ahead and let it all happen, because that's my conservative viewpoint, they got their heads parked up their asses. That's what they got. They have no idea of what it is they're saying. They don't know the world as it exists today. Everything global, every company connected with another, every bank connected with another. You think you're going to make it on your own, Harry? Good luck, man. It ain't going to happen. You think America is going to make it on its own if we let an entire industry like that go south? You think we're just going to go ahead and pick up our pitchforks and get our hay wagons going, man, and we're going to just start in again, man? We're going to be so far behind the rest of the world. Forget it. The Canadians will start making those cars, man. They got the auto plants up there. They ain't shutting down no auto plants in Canada. They'll start making cars. We got to start looking at the world the way it is and quit fooling around with our silly little political ideologies and quit fooling around with our silly, stupid, and embarrassing little tea parties or our little anti-Iraq and anti-American imperialism philosophies too, and our anti this and anti that. That, man, that stuff, it doesn't exist anymore. The world has a lot of evil in it. We got to kick the crap out of it. There are a lot of people who need some help, a lot of businesses that need help. That's when government steps in. Not when times are good, when times are bad. You don't stop government from helping people because your stupid little philosophy says, well, it says here on page 3. Nor do you insert government into everybody's lives when things are good because it says here on page 4 the government has to solve every problem. There is a time and a place. What's the Bible say? You know, I know there's people out there that like the Bible. I don't know anything about the Bible, but I know it's got that, to everything there is a season, right? All right, coming up, your calls at 877-876-PHIL plus. An investigation in Florida shows no credible threats to the runaway Muslim convert. Let's find out what that's about when we come back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Phil here, and the only world, I was going to say the only world famous Phil Hendry Show, that's for sure. The only news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. We're going to go to some phone calls here, and we'll get into this. You remember that kid that ran away from Ohio and said that her father was going to kill her because she was going to become a Christian? The authorities in Florida, it ain't adding up, man. They're not fine. And I recall saying to you guys, you know, I'd love to believe that this is one of those fantastic stories about a youth fleeing the medieval control of some tribal ritual that's destructive, but it may not be necessarily so. She met this family on Facebook, a Christian group, and she went down to Florida. I got nothing against Christians, but I got something against what I happen to know exists. These groups that brainwash or otherwise make promises so that you can become, you know, one with the Lord or something. We'll talk about that. Here is Joe in Toronto, Canada. Joe, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. What's going on?
Hey, Joe. You know, we're all connected. You're right on point. You know, just GM is selling off Opel to the Russians and our Canadian man, Frank Stronach from Magna. So, yes, Canadians are going to be building cars, and he may set up a...
Well, congratulations, sir. Congratulations.
But I've worked down in the States. I still work in the States. I've worked at different, you know, in different large operations. And I have family down there. There's really, you know, it's all about a socioeconomic spin. You know, it's all about those who have and those who don't. And, you know, your president and your country has a big challenge. And, you know, I don't really see today in our knowledge space, there's not really that much difference. In fact, if you look in the...
What do you mean that much difference? What do you mean that much difference?
Well, it's all, you know, we live in a knowledge-based society. It's look at the Chinese. If you look at all their top marketing people, they were all educated in the States. I got my, my graduate business degree in Canada, but where were my profs educated? Down in the States.
No, I understand that, but the facts are these, that the Canadians have a national health care plan that Europe has embraced as well. Obviously, Canada has a parliamentary kind of government, but that's not really germane to the topic. The fact is, though, the Canadians find something very natural that seems to be anathema to Americans.
And that's why I say that
I believe Canadians perhaps identify more as Europeans than they do as North Americans. But in this instance, in terms of health care, I don't see that that's such a bad thing, man, because... I know the Canadian healthcare system, and I know it's fantastic, and I know that people like it, and I know that the propaganda that's been sold down here... Thank you very much, Joe, for your call. I know the propaganda that has been sold down here about Canadians not liking... I mean, this is just blatant lying, folks. How do I honor and trust and feel that someone speaks for me when they engage in lies which they claim to hate in the opposition? When the anti-healthcare people tell me that the Canadians hate their healthcare system, that is a lie. It's not a misstatement. It's not a a misunderstanding. It's a lie. You understand? I don't have any respect for those people. I have none. I don't know who I can respect. I will tell you, I've looked at the actual plan. I've listened to the president. That's all I can hang on to right now, because the pros and the cons involved in this debate are so off point, it's sad. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry.
Like these stories. This is my favorite kind of stuff because, you know, everybody's so reactive when it comes to news. If you hear, for instance, girl, Muslim, wants to go to Florida, she wants to live with a Christian family because her father is threatening to kill her, it's an honor-killing situation, and she's scared for her life, and we all sort of, it's just knee-jerk. I mean, it's head-jerk. It's all kinds of jerks. A lot of jerks involved, and generally the story is that, oh, she's at risk, you know, this poor girl, and just another example of those animals, those medieval animals, right? And I just love it, you know, when we find out that there's more to it, because I always know that there's more to a story than just what meets the eye, like the, oh, that hoax, that rape hoax there at Hofstra. You notice that AP left out the fact that four of these guys were black, and I don't know whether or not it's because she's black, and if she is black, maybe that's why they left it out. Maybe it's not relevant, see? But if she's white, why'd they leave it out? Maybe they didn't want to be incendiary. I don't know. Maybe it has no racial component whatsoever. And that's not the point. The point isn't necessarily the story, folks. It's how it's being reported. How is it being reported? You know, we run a clinic around here every night, and there's so much that we try to tell people. Number one, we'll tell people, if you have the facts and you understand what the issues are, realize that there are others who don't, and they're going to drive you crazy, and some of them may be the actual people who are reporting the story. So, we say, it's more likely you're being lied to on a daily basis, not by your doctor, not by your dentist, not by the guy that builds the pool in your backyard or someone that's putting in new cabinets. You're not being lied to by the president. You're not being lied to by the Congress. You're not even being lied to by your local used car salesman. No. The guy that's most likely to lie to you is the very guy that you can't live without when you flip your radio on or your TV on every day. He's the guy that's going to lie to you. As a matter of fact, I'm not just telling you it's likely. I'm telling you it's happening. Now, don't take it from me. I only work in the business. What else about news when we have our little clinics? Well, how is it being reported? Is it being reported factually, or is it being reported for sensationalism, or is it just a shallow report that doesn't follow up? When this story first got reported, it seemed like this poor girl was in big trouble. Now, this child's name was Rivka Berry. She spoke to Channel 9 in Orlando, Florida, a while back about how her family will kill her for converting to Christianity. Listen to the emotionalism, listen to the fear, listen to the compelling audio here.
You guys don't understand. Islam is very different than you guys think. They have to kill me. My blood is now halal, which means that because I am now a Christian, I'm from a Muslim background, it's an honor. If they love God more than me, they have to do this. And I'm fighting for my life. You guys don't understand. They don't understand.
It's okay. It's okay. Yes.
What did your father say to you?
He said he would kill me, or I'm sent back to Sri Lanka where they put me in asylum. Because he said I'm crazy.
All right, is that a child that's at risk for her life? Is that a child who is an emotional child who's been ratcheted up by the people that she's with? Is that a girl who is, forgive me, but is she an attention whore? Who recognizes that when she cries, she gets attention? I mean, we know what this is. We've seen this dynamic not only in children, but in people. Is it disrespectful to ask these questions? No, it isn't at all. There's always something more to a story. That's why I don't ever accept when someone says, oh, that's socialism. because there's a very, very high probability he doesn't know what he's talking about, and no story's that simple. Well, that's communism. It's, no story's that simple. Well, it's too much taxes. No story is that simple that it can be explained away. No issue's that simple that can be explained away by a one-line rejoinder that is embraced by a great many people in their caravan of SUVs with their American flags and their Patrick Henry uniforms. I have to tell you, the level of the intelligence of any debate, in my opinion, is quite obviously registered by how many signs people carry, because if their arguments are simplistic, generally they can cram them into one little piece of poster board that they picked up at the hobby shop. Florida authorities, now you just heard the audio, Florida authorities' investigation into a teenager's claims that her life is in danger for converting from Islam to Christianity found no credible threats to 17-year-old Rivka Berry, according to a newly unsealed report. The seven-page summary of the probe into the Berry case by the FDLE, that is the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, was unsealed on Monday. I quote, FDLE's inquiry... Now, the FDLE is like the state FBI. It's like the, well, I don't know what we got here in California. I guess the California Highway Patrol, I guess. I don't know. It's like the GBI in Florida or in Georgia. It's like a lot of state law enforcement agencies. FDLE's inquiry to date has failed to reveal any evidence of a conspiracy to commit, solicitation to commit, attempt, or other efforts to commit any such action or other violence against her. The report synopsis includes interviews with Berry's father, who she said threatened her, officials from her school in Ohio, and the person who baptized her and helped her travel to Florida, Brian Williams is his name. Members of the Islamic community in Columbus, Ohio, and the mosque the Berry family sometimes attends, were not part of the investigation. Only local, state, and federal officials in both Ohio and in Florida, according to the Orlando Sentinel. Rivka's attorney previously characterized that mosque as a hotbed of terrorists. The FDLE report said investigating a person or organization without specific identifiable criminal predicate would have been inappropriate, according to the St. Petersburg Times. In other words, you claiming something about an entire organization does not necessarily necessitate law enforcement jumping into their cars and running over there with search warrants. There has to be some evidence beyond hearsay. Among Rivka's allegations investigated were her claim that her father punched her while they were in a car because she had been embarrassed to wear a hijab, or the Muslim headscarf. Her father says that never happened. The FDLE said it didn't investigate that or other specific incidents involving claims of physical or sexual abuse because they would have happened in Ohio outside their jurisdiction, according to WDBO. Ohio authorities told those in Florida they had no reports of abuse. So Ohio investigated it, which is what this highly biased report from Fox News doesn't want you to know. I'm telling you guys, I got no problem with Fox News or CNN, but I can't rely on their news anymore. I can't rely on CNN and I can't rely on Fox, because the more I read their news, and I read news with a very, very critical eye, the more I see how utterly unprofessional it is. And CNN, you too. You guys are embarrassing. The high school student is in foster care in Orlando after fleeing to Florida from her home in Ohio because she said she feared being killed by her family for switching religions. She ran away from her parents' house in suburban Columbus in July after her parents, Sri Lankan immigrants Muhammad and Aisha Berry, learned that she had been baptized without telling them. She ran away from her home in suburban Columbus after she got baptized. She said she is afraid of becoming the victim of an honor killing if she stays with her father and mother. Her parents have said they have no intention of harming their daughter. The girl fled to the home of Reverend Blake Lorenz, pastor of the Orlando-based Global Revolution Church, whom she befriended on Facebook. Her father says he believes Rivka had been brainwashed by fundamentalist Christians. Now, I believe that. Now, how old is this girl? She's 17. And we had stories recently of young people being transported or otherwise induced to cross state lines for various religious purposes. And we know, you know, I know, it doesn't take a stretch here to understand that there are possible kidnapping charges that can be filed, you know? Like, for instance, when that group took that that Christian group or that church group took that group of students from that high school in a bus that was not a school field trip, not under the aegis of the school at all. It just so happened they used one of the school's buses and paid for it and transported these kids someplace without the knowledge of some of the parents. The girl fled the home, fled her home to the Reverend Blake Lorenz. The latest findings don't negate the case or mean that Rivka is going home. A judge is still deciding whether to return the girl to Ohio. Another hearing is set for September the 29th. What this story is about a highly sexy potentiality of honor killing, which of course the media is going to eat up. And a young girl fleeing from the Muslims to the embrace of a Christian family in South Florida, never mind that she's underage. And if it's found out that this guy induced this child to run away from home to come down to his Christian church, he may have his ass in a ringer too, this Blake Lorenz. Now, I know they throw all this religious jazz out there. Don't you understand the Christian faith? Yes, we do understand, sir, and God bless you, but we have laws. If you broke the law, well, it looks like they ain't going to have a pastor in that church for a while. All right, and then we have one more story that I wanted to get to. Well, we'll get to it. It's about some guy saying the F word on the air at Fox Channel 5 in New York, which I think is pretty funny. However, I won't bore you with it right now. Here is Jeff in Bloomington, Illinois. Jeff, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, good morning, Phil. Hey, listen.
How are you?
I listen to your show just about every night, man, and I appreciate
Thank you.
Most of the time you're a very unbiased host. But tonight you,
okay,
you kind of got under my skin a little bit with these Tea Party people that are going out there. You know, for the first time, Phil, people are actually coming out of a slumber and caring what's going on in the country. I mean, I remember being in high school, and I'm 35 now, and they called us Generation X. You know, we don't vote, we don't care, we don't do anything. But yet people are going out there in droves right now to protest against something that they believe in. And, you know, you're sitting there and you're talking about how you've got no respect for these people. And, you know, you're talking about how Fox News, you know, you can't respect what's coming out of Fox News. But yet MSNBC runs a deal where they're showing a guy at a tea party and he's got guns strapped to his side, and they said, look at this racist. That happens to be a black guy. How could that be possible?
I've been talking about MSNBC and their reporting for years. For years, my brother.
Still,
I've been talking about
you,
those people.
How can you be
upset? So what's your complaint?
How can you
what's
be
your
upset
complaint?
With people? How can you be upset with people that are actually taking charge and wanting to go out there and get involved with the U.S. That's our job.
Jeff. I'm not upset that they're taking part in the process. Everybody should take part in the process. I don't think you should get an award, to be perfectly honest with you, for taking part in the process. When you take part in the process and you are so ill-informed that you walk into a town hall meeting and shout down people that are trying to do some informing, you're not only being involved in the process, you're co-opting the process in a thuggish way, disseminating information that is not correct. Look, I go out there, man, but you know, one of the problems being a part of your generation is you were patted on the head by your parents and told, if you go out and get involved, you are just a marvelous kid and nobody can criticize you. That ain't the way the game's played, man.
Exactly.
We want you to go out there and protest, but the game is also played this way. If you're saying something that is wrong, somebody is going to argue with you about it.
Okay. Well, can we agree?
Someone's going to disagree
thing.
With you.
When
someone's
going to
disagree with you, okay?
Okay, but when George Bush left office, he left with a $1 trillion deficit, okay, which was unheard of just about in this country. Now we're sitting at nearly $12 trillion. That's not doing anything positive for this country, Phil. That money is not being spent properly. That's our money.
Whoa, wait. $12 trillion, that money is not being spent properly. What money is not being spent properly?
Our money. The stimulus package was
No, wait. What money? I know it's our money. It's my money, too. What money isn't being spent properly? What money is not being spent?
An utter failure. Tell me it was.
Well, that you saying it don't make it so, my man. Saying it don't make it so. You don't know that for a fact at all.
Okay.
Not at all. You're repeating something somebody told you.
No.
I'll give you an example.
I'll give you an example.
Because the only example that you can give me is something you repeat that you heard from somebody else. A lot of money, man. A lot of money. I'll give you examples.
Give me an example.
In the states of Ohio, in the states of New Jersey, in the states of Arizona, money has gone into those states and thousands of people have been put to work. Now, you understand when that money went to those states, they played politics with it. Some of our very fine governors were saying, I don't need that money, or I don't want to spend it this way, or I want to spend it that way, or I want to send it back, or I want to do something with it. So they're playing games at the level of the state.
Unemployment has gone up.
Are you listening to what I'm saying to you? You asked me a question. I'm giving you facts.
Yes.
Okay, yes.
But the unemployment has risen since the stimulus package.
It doesn't necessarily mean that the stimulus hasn't created jobs.
Are you kidding?
I have the facts on my side. Show me where it hasn't. I have the facts.
Where? The fact is...
I've talked to the Chamber of Commerce in all of those states and government figures. Jobs have been created. You have no facts, Jeff. You sit there and repeat your Generation X babble. Do you understand? Learn something.
I'm giving you a fact right now. 9.9% unemployment.
I can get that fact from the headline of any newspaper. Are you kidding? Okay. Do you actually read the article that goes underneath that?
How can you dispute that?
I'm not disputing it, Jeff. What you don't understand, because you lack a basic mathematical sense, is that unemployment can go up while jobs are still being created. As a matter of fact, unemployment went up at a slower rate. Do you know why that is? Because the number of jobs that are being lost, Jeff, if you knew anything about math, which you don't, you don't understand math, Jeff. As jobs go up, as jobs are created, even if, oh, this guy is, it's arguing with people. I'm going to explain this to Jeff because he's frightened of the truth, and I understand. Unemployment can go up. If it goes up at a slower rate, that means that fewer jobs are being lost in relation to jobs being created. So you can have jobs being created and still have an unemployment rate rising, but at a slower rate. Now, Jeff doesn't want to know that, because if he knows that, he may have to change his opinion. And if he has to change his opinion, God knows what'll happen. Is he man enough to say, wow, here's some new information that maybe I ought to look at? Or is he, like I think most of those tax party people, basically a coward when it comes to the truth? They'd rather embrace their ideology than help the country. How many times have we said that on the show? How many times have we said these people care more about their ideology than they do about their country? I think it's a shame. We're going to keep on talking about it. We'll be back with the stories we couldn't get to next on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry.
Time now for the stories we couldn't get to. I don't know how many of these we'll be able to get to, but this blows my mind. Every time I read a story about an animal that has traveled thousands of miles to get back to its owner or survived on some deserted volcanic island, it's nuts. Anyway, in Hobart, Australia, a cat named Clyde, okay, was reunited with his owner on Wednesday after a mysterious three-year odyssey in which the long-haired Himalayan strayed 2,400 miles into the Australian outback. Ashley Sullivan, age 19, said she'd given up hope of ever finding Clyde after he'd vanished when he was about 1 year old from her family home near Hobart City in Australia. That's in the on the island of Tasmania. I'm positive he remembers. He's not acting like he suddenly appeared somewhere and is frantic, she said. A nurse found Clyde wandering at a hospital in the remote Queensland state town of Cloncurry and cared for him for 4 months before taking him to a local vet as she was leaving town and could not take the cat with her. The vet, Donna Weber, traced Clyde's owner from an identification microchip that was embedded under the cat's skin. But no one has a clue how Clyde managed the 185-mile sea journey across the Bass Strait from Tasmania off mainland Australia's southeast coast, and then about more than 2,000 miles overland to Cloncurry, deep in the arid interior of the outback. This animal, I think the cat swam. An animal transport company returned the cat to Hobart for free flying most of the way. It's pretty special to have him back, Sullivan said. I'm overwhelmed. Now, wait a minute. Maybe the cat stowed away on a ship. I don't know. I mean, maybe the cat could have hijacked an airplane. Anyway, in Shreveport, police say a man impersonating a police officer with a flashing red light in his car has been arrested after he pulled over the wrong... Wait a minute, that's an old story. That's from yesterday. We did that story. A naked motorcyclist was charged with driving under the influence after he was spotted riding his motorcycle naked on a highway in Florida. Okay. The deputy was driving early Tuesday when he spotted what appeared to be a naked man on a motorcycle. The deputy caught up with 45-year-old J. Dante Krause at a red light and stopped him. Captain Mike Rudis says Krause could not explain why he was naked. Roll said the deputy asked him if he had been drinking, and he answered that he had. Breathalyzer tests revealed blood alcohol levels above 0.08, the state's legal limit. Krause was charged with what Roll says turned out to be his fifth DUI. They did not list an attorney, and his phone number was not listed. All right. World-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Jason Rantz, technical director Ralph Rodriguez. Till tomorrow or tonight, good night from El Pacifico.
Phil Hendry.